Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome to the third hour of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Buck here in New York City, Clay out in sunny Los Angeles today, talking to you about everything going on in the country, on the coast and in between, all over the place. We have this story for you, broken by Luke Rosiak at the Daily Wire, of on the front lines of the teachers and the, I should say, the school boards versus parents battles, the Democrat machinery of the education bureaucracy, finally getting some pushback from parents. But there's one case in particular that involves a transgender student's alleged assault against a young girl, the school board covering it up, and the father who is concerned of the father of the girl assaulted, he is held up by the media because of his appearance at a school board meeting as one of those domestic terrorist insurrectionist types. Total slander, but also shows you very much of what's going on with the left. But we'll get to that later on this hour. Also, the latest on the COVID vaccine mandate that is sweeping the country and even bringing in high-profile NBA players and many others. But Fox News has this story up now I wanted to talk to you about, breaking just while Clay and I are on the air here with you. Leaked Border Patrol documents show mass release of illegal immigrants in the U.S. by the Biden administration. Now, before I give you the details here, let's just all be clear that we know what's really happening. We don't have a problem at the border that both sides, Democrat and Republican, conservatives and socialists, leftists, etc., want to solve in the same manner. We actually want a legal immigration system and people who are not supposed to be in the country to not come and not stay. The Democrats want there to be a perpetual de facto open border status. This is what the numbers show. This is what the policies show. I know that they'll put DHS Secretary Mayorkas, for example, out there to tell everyone, you know, this is not the time to come, or Kamala Harris will say, don't come now, or whatever, right? They'll tell you this is not the moment for illegal immigration, to which I always want to say, is there ever a good time for illegal immigration? Well, Democrats think there is. We want different things here, though, fundamentally, the two major political parties in this country. Remember that. And here's the Fox exclusive. Hats up to Bill Malugin for this one over at Fox News LA. At least 160,000 illegal immigrants have been released into the U.S., often with no supervision or little supervision by the Biden administration since March, including a broad use of parole authorities to make more than 30,000 eligible for work permits since August alone, according to Border Patrol documents obtained by Fox News. Clay, there's a lot here, but one thing that's catching people's eyes, by the way, the overall number of how many have really been let into the country is much higher than that. You're already at apprehensions at the border of well over a million for the year. Some people say it might get as high as 1.5, maybe 1.8 million for the year. Could be 400,000 for the month of October alone, based on estimates for a couple of weeks ago. But the abuse of parole here, they're giving parole, it's supposed to be on a case-by-case, very specific basis. They're giving it to tens of thousands of people, Clay, almost like when they abuse prosecutorial authority to not enforce laws they don't like.
Yes, and here's where I think, in addition to the fact that the border is wide open, and that is a fundamental failure of the Biden administration, and we need to go back and not only talk about the border being wide open now, but also that the messages that have clearly been sent by the Biden administration have encouraged these millions of people to try to come into our country, and that they made a calculated decision after Trump had had incredible success. In fact, in a couple of the years of the Trump administration, Buck, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, I think we were actually seeing a net outflow of immigration. That is, people who were here illegally were going back to their home countries as opposed to flooding in hundreds of thousands every single month. Okay, so let's look at this. It also, to me, epitomizes the lies that are being told associated with COVID and the federal government's ability and power to enforce vaccine mandates. Because, Buck, some of the numbers I have seen suggest that up to 20% of the people that are crossing the border are testing positive for COVID. If you are obsessed with limiting the growth of COVID in this country, which the Biden administration and certainly their Saint Fauci claims to be, wouldn't you, as a condition, before you allow these illegal immigrants to violate our border and enter into the country and probably never be tracked down again, wouldn't you mandate the vaccine on them? Think about this for a minute. We are allowing people from other countries to flood into our country across our border while we are mandating on American citizens the vaccine. We aren't even doing the bare minimum of giving all of these illegal immigrants the vaccine as a condition before we release them into our country, despite the fact that we know they have incredibly high rates of COVID. And that is in conflict with what we require for anyone flying into the country. That is in conflict with what we are requiring our own citizens to do. And so, Buck, why would that be? It's because the Biden administration knows that as soon as they start mandating COVID vaccinations for illegal immigrants, they will get sued. A judge will strike down that mandate, and many right-thinking and reasonably intelligent Americans will say, wait a minute, if the Biden administration doesn't have the authority to vaccinate illegal immigrants as they pour across our borders, how in the world do they have the authority to vaccinate American citizens? Their lack of action here is not only hypocritical, it's telling you that they do not have the legal authority to mandate the vaccines as they are attempting to do.
The interior enforcement from the Biden administration is also showing everybody what's really going on here, what the real goal is. The Biden administration, according to the New York Times, yesterday announced that it would not conduct mass arrests of undocumented workers during enforcement operations at U.S. businesses, a reversal from Trump administration policies. So while there's the apprehensions at the border phenomenon, well, there's the situation of people coming into the country in unprecedented numbers. The Biden administration is fighting against using, is looking to end its Title 42 authority. To Clay's point about COVID vaccines, they can turn people away just because they say, sorry, there's a pandemic. We have to keep people safe here. And anybody who we think has COVID or COVID risk or whatever, you know, the amount of authority that Border Patrol or Immigration and Customs Enforcement actually has at the border is considerable. But the Biden team has said they're not going to use that in the way that they could. They won't use it against family units. They won't use it against people who, or I should say, use it to process people who say that they have a credible fear. But then you also have the complete breakdown of interior enforcement. If they're not going to actually arrest people who are working at employers in violation of the law in large numbers, guess what? A lot of employers will want to pay people less than the minimum or prevailing wage. They want to pay them off the books. And the incentive for a lot of unscrupulous employers out there just goes up, gets higher, because they know they're not going to get into any trouble. They're also not deporting people, Clay, when they could, who are here illegally. Interior enforcement in sanctuary cities is effectively non-existent now. They make it as hard as possible for the federal authorities to do anything in cities all across the country. And this brings you to a de facto open border situation. And the only way it stops, Biden administration is not going to stop it because they're scared of the activists. They're scared of the left. And the left is really calling the shots with Joe Biden. The only way this ends is you take power out of the hands of people who are abusing it in this way. And that means political consequences. That means kicking out the Democrats who pretend not to be open borders when they really are. They're lying to the American people. That's the part of this that I think we have to just remind everybody about day in and day out. They aren't upset by what's happening. They like it. They're just making a show of wanting border security because they know a majority of the American people are not with them.
Not only that, there are also many of the people out there in the media complicit in pretending this situation doesn't exist. I was talking about being at the 25th anniversary of the Fox News launching last night here in LA. If Fox doesn't get the drones up in Del Rio, Texas, and make people aware of what's going on at the border, then the American media, the rest of them, wouldn't pay attention to this at all. And we know, because Fox has been covering it, there are tens of thousands of people in these caravans continuing the march. Buck, what do we see the data? October could be the worst month for border crossings, maybe in forever almost, in terms of how many people are coming and trying to enter into our country. And it just, it legitimately calls into question all COVID restrictions that we are allowing all these COVID positive people into the country, not mandating any vaccines, not mandating even a negative test. And yet we're trying to tell our American citizens, you aren't allowed to work unless you get this vaccine.
You know, you mentioned the numbers and how it could be the highest numbers ever, the 400,000 that is estimated as possible for this month. The entire Border Patrol infrastructure, I've seen it in San Diego, in McAllen, in El Paso, is built along what was happening, or built to deal with what was happening in the 90s, where you had single adult males who were basically coming to find work in the U.S. would come across the border. And the border was so open in many places then that they would go back and forth.
Yes.
It was that it was so open in a sense they'd go back and forth. But that was a different situation because they weren't necessarily staying. A lot of them did, but they weren't necessarily staying permanently. And that's when we realized we had to create, if we wanted to have a border, the Border Patrol holding facilities. That's what I mean by the actual infrastructure that's all set up for single adult males. That's why the families, when they started to come across abusing essentially the asylum loophole that's there, and also abusing some this court decision, the Flores consent decree that says you can't hold a child for more than, I think it's 20 or 21 days. All these different ways that the system, all of a sudden the seams in it were exposed. It's because now you've got families. This is now a new immigration system we have. Everyone needs to understand that. This isn't just single adult males who want to find a job. Entire family units are coming across, hundreds of thousands of people over the course of this year, more than a million, really, when all the numbers are tabulated, to settle permanently in America. None of the people who are showing up here really are coming across, want to work here for a while, might go back, have family there. The whole family is moving from, remember, not just Central America, but from wherever they come from all over the
world.
Not
even this continent.
Right. This is a new form of mass immigration that is illegal. That's what's going on. This isn't just about work. It's not about single adult males. So this is unprecedented is what I'm really getting at. We've never had this happening in the numbers that it's occurring right now. And it's happening because the Biden administration, you have to remember this, they're not waking up every morning thinking, oh my gosh, how do we stop so much illegal migration in the country? They're thinking, how do we make sure the American people don't get wise to this in enough numbers that they kick out Democrats from elected office and then Republicans will actually do something about this? This is the challenge that they're facing right now. Clay and I love Mike Lindell's MyPillow, right? Because it's so comfortable. It'll have you sleeping better than you ever have before. And we've got all kinds of gear, the mattress topper, the Giza Dream sheets, the towel sets, the slippers, the robes. These will be your favorite products for your home once you get them. You can trust Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. And also, he's a patriot, stands up for free speech in America. The cancel left has come after him before. So what if I told you we could get you the best robes, slippers, sheets, towels, pillows you've ever had? And with every item you buy, you're supporting free speech and a great all-American company. Well, that's what you get with MyPillow, Clay.
No, and only that, Buck. We've got an incredible offer for the Giza Dream Sheets, which are phenomenal. I've got them in the bed that I sleep in my house. Got it with my kids. You can get them right now. Buy one, get one free with the promo code Clay and Buck. All MyPillow products, they come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Right now, you can go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials to get the Giza Dream Sheets. Again, they're buy one, get one free with the code Clay and Buck, or you can call 800-792-3269. Again, one more time, MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener specials. Get the Giza Dream Sheets. Buy one, get one free with Clay and Buck, or call 800-792-3269. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We've been talking about vaccine mandates. Probably not a surprise to you that Jen Psaki, a.k.a. Little Red Lying Hood, would be asked a question about the constitutionality of vaccine mandates and try to say that this is not in any way a difficult question to answer. I'll unpack exactly why this is so stupid, but let's go ahead. This is yesterday in her White House press briefing. Let's go ahead and play cut 24.
Well, we know that federal law overrides state law. I would note that earlier when we put out our guidance on the president's announcement about mandates several weeks ago, it made clear that, again, as I said earlier, requirements are promulgated pursuant to federal law and supersede any contrary state or local law or ordinance. Additionally, nothing in this guidance excuses noncompliance with any applicable state law or municipal ordinance. We put out guidance several weeks ago conveying that clearly. But fundamentally, beyond the legal aspect, which is unquestionable in our view, the question for any business leader is, what do you want to do to save more lives in your companies?
Yeah, Clay, it's like the Constitution is all constitution-y with like the federal things that are like way more legal than the things that the states with their little laws and stuff. There you go. We're getting our constitutional analysis from Jen Psaki these days.
Yeah, look, in general, federal law does supersede state law when there is a conflict. Here is what is not true. Unconstitutional federal law does not supersede state law. Anyone telling you that they know 100% what the results are going to be here of what the courts are going to say, which, by the way, is going to take a long time and there's going to be multiple conflicting opinions here, is selling you a bill of goods. So we know already that the Biden administration, because of the eviction moratorium, has lied about the constitutionality of their actions and has been struck down. The idea that the federal COVID vaccine mandate is constitutional and the state oppositions to mandates is unconstitutional because the federal government supersedes state is just not true. She may well be lying to you again. We don't know for certain until maybe all the way up to the Supreme Court issues a ruling on this, which unfortunately, Buck, would probably happen long after we really have the debate about COVID vaccine mandates still going on.
I mean, if you want to take the Democrat point of view here to its ultimate conclusion, it would mean that the federal government could use OSHA. The federal government could use OSHA to tell people that they have to exercise for an hour a day, which, by the way, that actually would probably be a good thing.
Way more
but,
healthy.
Yeah, that would actually be good. But that the federal government could say everybody has to do, 100 jumping jacks first time as soon as they go into the office, that everybody can only eat 1,500 calories a day, that everybody, why not? Under Psaki, the federal government is supremacy, so what's the problem? Well, the point is the federal government is supposed to do the things that the federal government is set up to do with the Constitution. The rest of the stuff that you can legislate goes to plenary powers, goes to the states. The states actually have much more leeway under our federalist system than the federal government does to get creative and intrusive with legislation. But that's not how the Democrats see things, obviously. They want to do everything federally.
And they're furious at the states for not requiring something. This is a big difference that I think a lot of people miss, right?
Yeah.
There's a difference between mandating something and saying, hey, you can have a choice. That's what we're dealing with right here.
There are consistent investments, and then there are highly speculative ones. Gold equals consistency. If your goal is to protect your portfolio, gold and silver lead the list of precious metals that appreciate and hold their value. And now you can purchase each and take physical possession of and hold your investment in your hands. That's what I did with the help of my friends at the Oxford Gold Group. They easily arranged to have something that's precious, and it's sent right to my home. It was like Christmas morning. I invested, and then I held real gold in my hands. Like you, it's safely stored in my home along with other important items, my passport, a little reserve cash, deeds to my house, stuff like that. If you think buying real gold is complicated, it's not. You got to call my friends at the Oxford Gold Group today. Call them at 833-404-GOLD. And learn how you can have real gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. Call Oxford at 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-G-O-L-D.
Pretty hard to run a business in a city where crime and theft is unpunished, largely. Welcome back to Clay and Buck Show. And we had this story, we had Heather McDonald join us for a tour de force interview in the second hour of the show today. Highly recommend, if you missed it, go back and listen to the podcast of the Clay Travis and Buck Saxon Show. Subscribe to it so you always have it. Heather was talking about just the numbers. I mean, I did not know. I thought it probably would be in the teens because that's what it is in a typical year, something like, 10 to 15 usually. But unarmed black men shot in America this year by police, she gave us the number 4. That's right, 4. And yet, how many times have you heard and how often have there been conversations on national news outlets about the urgent need
to deal with the plague of racist police shootings of unarmed black men in this country. The biggest challenge of law enforcement, they would have you believe. Meanwhile, thousands and thousands and thousands of people are being murdered across the country who would not in a typical year, in large part because of the undermining of law enforcement by the Democrat apparatus and the corporate Democrat media. And that disproportionately, speaking of the percentages, involves minorities, particularly young black men who are killed in major cities because of the increase in violence as a result of the lack of policing. But it goes even, you know, to much lower crimes, lower issues than that. We're talking about the undermining of law enforcement. Things like what feels like systemic or systematic, I think actually would be the word, theft. People that have set up and intend to not just take something on the fly. We're not talking about people that are grabbing one thing in a store, but will go into stores and fill a bag almost like, you know, Santa Claus on Christmas Day showing up through the chimney. They'll take a whole bag, stuff it full of whatever they think they could sell, either on the street or on eBay or wherever. And that has really negative ramifications. Walgreens, this is from the NBC affiliate in San Francisco Bay Area. Walgreens is closing 5 locations and they're being open about it. It's because they are just being robbed into oblivion. And this goes to a problem that I want everyone to understand. There's defund the police as a narrative, an insane one. And as Clay, I think, rightly points out, perhaps the dumbest and most reckless political slogan in recent American, you know, history, defund the police. But it was very prominent among the, you know, CNN put a lot of people on TV. Oh, defund the police. But Clay, this is an issue of prosecutors deciding that whether it's San Francisco or New York or other places, if you steal less than $800 in one sitting, if you will, or one stealing, you don't get charged with a felony. You, in fact, won't even necessarily be processed beyond an initial arrest. You will not be held on bail. You will be let out the same day and can steal again. So dozens and dozens of thefts will occur from one person before they're even caught.
Think about how bad it has to get, Buck, for a major American corporation to decide to close its stores in a major American city because of all the theft that is going on there. Because we are not enforcing basic criminal law and punishing thieves. And then I want to build on this because I think it ties into defund the police. Because, Buck, the victims here are who? A lot of these people who are living near these Walgreens, they may need the jobs there. Sometimes there are not a lot of places you can find work. Think about all the jobs that are being lost in those locations. Think about all the people who live near those Walgreens that are law-abiding, which would be the vast majority of the people in those neighborhoods, who are using those stores because it's more convenient for them to go there than it might be to go elsewhere. In other words, we hear a lot about inner-city food deserts. Everybody out there probably knows somewhat what I'm talking about, but there's not easy access to a grocery store or to a drugstore. And so you have to get on public transportation or spend a substantial amount of your time traveling somewhere if you don't have a car. And you go and you try to buy things for your family, and then you have to spend all that time traveling back. You may have to carry a lot of your purchases. And now Walgreens is shutting down 5 stores because of all the theft that's going on. We're losing the jobs, we're losing the convenience, we're losing the quality of life, because those are probably then going to become, what, not occupied store fronts, the lease dollars, the tax dollars that are going to come in from those stores. This is an unmitigated failure and disaster, and it also ties in directly with defund the police, because by not enforcing the law, the people who are actually losing out are the law-abiding citizens who can't get jobs, who can't shop, and are not safe from the criminal element in their communities. It's a failure.
And even when the cops make the arrest, people who understand how the system works know that they're not going to be in much trouble. In
That's
New
right.
York, because of the bail reform law, you will be out the same day. they keep having these terrible incidents, whether it's someone being, you know, the middle-aged woman who was pushed and hit her head and died in Times Square recently, another person thrown into an oncoming subway car and didn't die, but was hurt pretty badly. You have these incidents and the people involved in them, Clay, the assailants have been arrested, you know, 10, 20, sometimes 50 times. Some of these videos have gone viral, you know, an elderly person punched in the face by someone who was arrested 100 times, right? These are the things you keep seeing happening. You say, how is it possible? It is possible because whether it's the prosecutor's office of Cy Vance or it's Larry Krasner in Philadelphia or it's Chesa Boudin in San Francisco and other cities as well, when they are presented with somebody who has committed a crime, they start to think, how does this look? What does this mean for social justice? Are we prosecuting another young minority male that'll add to a perception that we have to fight by not actually furthering this prosecution, but by giving them a second chance? I don't want to prevent this person who just shoved an elderly woman to the ground from getting a job in the future. So let's give him another chance and another and maybe 20 and maybe 50. And this is the mentality that leftist prosecutors have. So you can imagine when you're a cop, and you know that anytime you have to wrestle a suspect or arrest a suspect, people will pull out their video phones and, oh, especially if the person resists, you're risking your career and your life every time you're having to engage with a suspect in that way. And you know that at the end of the day, the person who walked into the Walgreens with a bag that they filled with, and it's all the stuff that's now under lock and key in my own drugstore on my corner, which, you know, it's razor blades, anything that's easily saleable and has some real value. They fill bags with that. Who wants to effect that arrest, Clay? Who wants to be the cop that deals with that and maybe doesn't get to keep their job or even their freedom because of the narrative? And this is a narrative that is endemic and only exists on the progressive left.
Well, it's the same thing where we were talking about this, I think, off air, Buck. A lot of times now you have suspects described without using their race. How can you say, hey, help us arrest somebody? He's a 20-year-old male who's 5'8", and you don't even say, oh, he's black, he's white, he's Asian, or he's Hispanic, because there's a concern that if you even mention the race, which is self-evident to anybody who would be looking, right, if you're trying to ask the public for help in trying to find suspects, saying what the suspects look like is kind of a big deal, but it's gotten to the point, and this is why the Heather McDonald interview was so interesting, and I'd encourage all of you to go listen to that at the top of the second hour, download the podcast. It's gotten to the point where everybody's so afraid of being called racist if they discuss actual facts. Who commits crime? How do you stop crime from being committed? Well, you go to where the crime is being committed. And that's not necessarily going to 100% comport with the overall racial dynamic of a city, of a street, of a neighborhood. And yet that is considered to be an inconvenient truth that's not allowed to be acknowledged. It's a fundamental failure of American policy. And the people who pay the consequences are, unfortunately, law-abiding minorities very often in inner city neighborhoods.
Yeah, the disparate impact, if we're really going to talk about one, of the lack of policing is on the 99% of people of color, of black folks, of Latinos who live in minority, you know, predominant neighborhoods in major cities, who suffer from the enhanced crime in neighborhoods from the lack of policing. So if we're going to talk about disparate impact, let's look at the disparate impact on communities of color that happens as a result of the drawdown in policing. They suffer more than others. And also beyond that, you know who pushes this stuff, Clay? Because the data, we like to talk about the data, shows that a majority of people in cities like Detroit, of black residents in Detroit,
overwhelmingly support the police.
Want more or the same amount of police. You know who wants defund the police? Rich liberals, predominantly but not all, white. Rich liberals who go on MSNBC and live in gated communities or the fanciest neighborhoods
security.
Of major cities have private security. And, you know, armed security even, they're the ones that are big believers in it. We'll come back to maybe some of your calls here to close us out. We'll get to in just a moment. Carnivore Trading is the name of an information source that Wall Street investors need to know. These guys have revolutionized how folks like us can make money in the stock market. Carnivore Trading is an elite group of brilliant Wall Street traders who figured it's time to democratize stock trading for everyone. Carnivore members receive real-time text alerts of the explosive trades Carnivore has identified right now. They share that information with you each and every trading day via text. You can choose to make that trade through discount broker or pass, but why would you? You see the gains they make on some of these trades? Stunning. Carnivore trading is where regular people like you and me with little or no stock trading experience stay on top of real opportunities to grow their wealth in the markets. And right now, Carnivore invites you to see their explosive real-time trades free for 2 weeks. Go to GetOurTrades.com. Use promo code USA. That's GetOurTrades.com. Promo code USA. See website for terms and conditions. Past performance, not a guarantee of future earnings.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us, Wednesday edition of the program. This is the final segment. I encourage you to go download the podcast. You can find my name, Clay Travis. Find Buck Sexton's name. You can find our show together on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, everywhere that you can go and download a podcast. We also appreciate all of you listening live all over the country in all 50 states and around the world. Buck, I don't know if you saw this story, but there are a couple of things about it that just perfectly epitomize the hypocrisy of the era in which we're living. John Gruden was fired over emails that were uncovered as a part of an investigation into the culture surrounding the Washington Redskins. Used to be the Redskins, now the Washington football team. They don't even have a team mascot now because everybody's offended by mascot names. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, got a lot of people listening to us in Florida. John Gruden won a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they put his name on the Ring of Honor surrounding the football field. After these emails came out where he used some gay slurs in emails where people were uncomfortable with his language choice. But let me just make it clear. These were emails that only have come out, some of them a decade old, because of this otherwise investigation that had nothing to do with John Gruden. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers announced that they are pulling all of John Gruden's connection effectively to the overall team, and that they find his behavior to be totally unacceptable. One of our writers at OutKick, Armando Salguero, who is an NFL Hall of Fame writer, he just penned a really good piece, and he said, well, wait a minute. The Bucs actually still have Warren Sapp's name up on their Ring of Honor. Warren Sapp, who was a defensive tackle, not only is he still on the Ring of Honor, Buck, but he was arrested for soliciting and assaulting a prostitute in Arizona and also arrested on a domestic battery charge in Nevada. And he pled guilty to the Arizona charges. Okay. He's also failed to pay his tax bills, alimony, child support. At one point, he owed over $1 million to the IRS. That seems like maybe a more significant thing than sending an email with inappropriate words in it. That currently, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers also employ Antonio Brown, who has been accused of sexual assault, and also called his boss a cracker, which is obviously a racial slur. And they also employ Richard Sherman, who was just this offseason arrested for DUI, reckless endangerment of roadway workers, criminal trespass, resisting arrest, malicious mischief. And he's got 5 charges that are pending against him right now of a criminal nature. Yep.
Thought crimes are what gets you canceled.
How crazy is this?
This is the world that the left has created in America. This is the reality of the system as they enforce it against us. And I noted this to you beforehand. I mean, I don't follow much of the sports stuff, as you know, although I did go to my first ever SEC football game.
Big time Alabama fan, Buck Sexton.
Roll Tide. But I'm just going to tell you, I mean, they keep running these stories that will have a headline like, and Gruden said something nasty about Joe Biden. Like, that's actually a thing that's reported on.
Yeah, that's true.
As if that's, back when Biden was VP, folks, just so you know, this is a while ago, as if that is somehow newsworthy. I mean, if someone saw my text messages to friends about Joe Biden, you know, there would be things about how I don't think Joe Biden's doing a very good job. I'll put it to you that way. And yet this is important to them. This is why I bring it up, because they're signaling to everybody, the media signals, oh, Gruden, he's not just a white guy who said things you're not allowed to say. He's a white conservative or conservative-ish guy, which means total annihilation is called for, right? He's not a Biden, Obama, Hillary voter who said bad things, you know, in a conversation in private. He's a right wing guy. That's when you have to get to the Soviet level of taking a razor blade to cut out the names from the, you know, in the register book or whatever, you know, make sure that he's erased from history entirely.
Yeah, and look, the Ring of Honor may not be a significant thing, but it's evidence of the selective application of what is acceptable in society today, and we're going to erase you if you step outside of the left-wing prescribed materials, even if it's decade-old emails. And by the way, we're not going to apply the same standard retroactively that we're applying to John Gruden to anyone else, a.k.a. Warren Sapp, or even apply that same standard today to Antonio Brown or Richard Sherman. Now, look, everybody deserves the opportunity to make multiple mistakes. I don't believe in cancel culture, period. But to your point, Buck, I think we need to call out the hypocrisy of it, even though it is frustrating to have that hypocrisy out there. For what reason? Right. Because every time it happens, a few more people get red-pilled and take a step back and say, this isn't right. But if you get enough of those people, eventually you start kicking ass in elections, which I think and hope is going to happen next month in Virginia and roll on into the midterms.
Hypocrisy is the rule. That's the problem is this is the way it goes, right? They don't even try to act like they have the same standards applying to people. It all depends on what the left thinks about an individual's status and where they fall in the hierarchy of oppression. That's a conversation that's going to continue here, though. We have more for you. So we need to get to more calls tomorrow, and obviously we got Open Line Friday coming up, so we will certainly be hearing from a lot of you. But if you want, send Clay and me your thoughts. Follow Clay on Twitter, at Clay Travis, me at Buck Sexton on Twitter, also Facebook, Instagram, Buck Sexton on Instagram, Clay.
You can find us everywhere.
Everywhere. Come check us out. Send us your thoughts about the show. We love hearing from all of you. And we'll be back with you tomorrow with a fantastic show. So talk to you then.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.